is. If it's hanging a little bit too far on one side, I always try to center it. I have been prayerfully trying to make sure that on Monday nights I'm doing the right thing. Right now we're in between, you know, lessons where we've just finished up a series, and now I'm just doing some topical teaching until I figure out where the Lord wants us to go. I've had some ideas. It's been a while since we did any studying on soul winning and got out in the streets. And, of course, you know, if we do that, it's going to be a challenge for us all. But then on the other hand, it's biblical for us to, or for me, to finish something I started. And I did start a Bible survey in the Old Testament and got as far as up to Job. And so we need to finish that. Otherwise, I'll be in trouble. Okay, so I have been working on that a little bit too, just to get ahead in case that's the direction we go next. Or I can keep doing these little topical studies for a while until I'm sure what we're going to do next. So tonight, the title of this lesson is going to be Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, which is what we're all commanded to do. It's what we all should desire to be doing on a daily basis. This is a very important lesson in the Bible, and so I'm going to speak slowly and clearly and try to help you understand the wording the best that I can. You might want to turn to Genesis chapter 1, just because that's one of the first places I'll probably be directing you to. But we're going to be all over the place. Walking in the Spirit. Every Christian should be. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, as we look into this lesson of walking in the Spirit, help us to have that great desire in our heart to be one who is walking in the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to learn to put our flesh down daily and look to you and walk with you, that we may live a fulfilled and a proper Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you know, if you've read your Bible, God is a spirit, and he has no beginning, he has no end. As it says in Psalms 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is a spirit. This God spirit, he wanted companionship. He wanted someone to love and to fellowship with. And so first he had to create a new dimension of the physical realm, a realm that's not out there in eternity, but it has time, it has space, the physical realm. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did he do this? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be. And everything was created by the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Okay, just like that, God spake into existence the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets, and then he created man. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the physical realm was created, and so God rested. Man was made like, he was made a trinity like God. God is a trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay, three parts, yet one God. Man is three parts, yet just one. You have a body. What is the body? The body is just your container. It's a home for the soul and the spirit. You ever look at it that way? Just a container. And second, you have a soul. Your living soul, it has a bodily shape. It's the invisible you inside the body. It's your thoughts, it's your feelings, it's your emotions, it's your desires. It's you. That's your soul. And then third, you have the spirit. You have a spirit. It's invisible. It's like the wind. And it too is a living thing, but it's only living if you're born again. Okay? And now, God had created man in his image, and in most cases, man has a higher intelligence than the animals. and God made man that way because of his desire to fellowship with man in the spirit. If you want to fellowship with God, that's how it's got to be done, in the spirit, not in the flesh. And God had a desire to have man love him as he loves us. Man, however, lost that original fellowship through sin. And now, in order to regain that fellowship, in order to have fellowship with God today, a man must be born again, born of the Spirit. 1 John chapter 3, to restore that fellowship with God. But unfortunately, in today's times, many, even though they are saved and in Christ, they have had their salvation restored, they're still more concerned with the desires of the flesh than with this, than with seeking the spiritual walk and fellowship that God wants us to have with Him, longs for us to have with Him. And so this lesson is to help the saved overcome the world and the flesh and draw closer to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to come to know Him better than ever before. So let's, first of all, let's cover some fundamentals for a new Christian. What you really ought to do, and make note of doing this, because we don't have time to do this tonight, but you ought to read Romans chapters 6 through 8 slowly, carefully, prayerfully. Okay, Romans 6 to 8. And the first thing you ought to notice if you do that is that being saved and in Christ means that you become... Why don't we turn there, because we'll look at parts of it anyway. Romans chapter 6. Being saved, being in Christ, means that you become part of Christ's death and resurrection as well. Romans chapter 6, verse number 4. Let's look at that one. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. That's what God wants of us. That's what God wants for us. And that's what's going to give us the greatest life we can have. Fulfillment of life. All right. God expects His people to walk in newness of life, to walk in the new spirit, not continue to walk in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? So there are some things that the new man should know and be confident in that'll help him in his daily walk with God. Here's some things we ought to know. You need to know that you're saved, and that because you're saved, you have already overcome. We are overcomers. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. That old man died at Calvary. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Okay, things to note. You've already overcome. Your old man died at Calvary. You have the new man. Second thing to know is that the flesh is dead to sin. You must be confident in your salvation. Understand that the spiritual circumcision in Colossians, how that worked. Let's look at that. Colossians chapter number 2. Just keep your place in Romans, though. Colossians 2 talks about that spiritual circumcision in Christ. Let's start in verse 10. We'll look at verses 10 and 11. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Okay? So you need to understand that the spiritual circumcision there separated the real you, the soul, from the filth of the flesh, and it sealed your spirit, and sealed your soul and your spirit unto the day of redemption, until your body is redeemed. Okay, we're told that in Ephesians 4:30 and Romans 8:23. You're sealed till the day of redemption. Okay, so yes, Christians sin. Any Christian tells you he's not a sinner anymore, he hadn't read his Bible, and he's deceiving himself. But the thing is, because of the spiritual circumcision, the soul is not affected by that sin. And that's why we can go to the Lord, confess our sins, and be cleansed. Okay? All right, so know that you have put off the old man and that you have put on the new man. This is also taught in Colossians, but in chapter 3, let's look there. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay? So you put off the old man. That old man, that relates to Adam. Okay? The old man is carnal and has to do with the flesh. Put on the new man. The new man relates to Christ. It's a spiritual man. Okay? And it doesn't relate to the flesh, but to the spirit. Okay, another thing to know is that death has no more dominion over us after we're saved. And that's according to Romans chapter 7 to 10. Death has no more dominion. And so, hey, salvation is a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. God's people never again have to worry about the second death. We don't have to worry about hell. But understand that sin can separate us from fellowship with God the same way that disobedience separates us from our earthly parents, or would separate a child from their earthly parents. Okay? Like God, parents may be disappointed, but they're still parents. The child still belongs to them, even when they disobey. Okay? You disobey God, he doesn't kick you out of the family of God, but he's going to deal with you as children. Okay? Once born into a family, you're always a member. Are you in God's family? God's going to deal with you. Okay? Okay, now the next thing is we need to reckon on Christ. Romans chapter 6, if you still have your place there, verse number 11, says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, verse 11. Okay, reckon. What does that mean? To reckon means to count on. You count on it. You count it as so, as such. So you can reckon, you can count on your new life through Christ, knowing you are alive only through Him. You need to understand that you cannot live the Christian life yourself. You can't just one day, a person can't just wake up one day and say, well, I like the Christian religion, I think I'll call myself a Christian, I'll start doing things Christians do. No, you've got to live a Christian life, you can't do it yourself. You've got to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must let Christ live that life through you. Okay? And so, count on Jesus Christ and that spiritual walk with Him, because you cannot do it yourself in the flesh. Okay? The Bible says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't be done. That's Romans 8, verse 8. It's got to be done in the Spirit. And then you can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay, in the Spirit, you can do all things through Christ. In the flesh, you cannot please God. Okay, all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's Philippians 4:13. Let's talk about the daily walk then. The daily walk is simply being in complete submission and fellowship with God and being in His presence as you go about your day. As you go about your day, you're including God in every aspect of your life. Okay? This is a spiritual nearness, okay, that's manifested through His love for us and our love for Him. In its fullest form, it can bring you a calmness to your soul. It can bring an unshakable faith. It can bring a oneness with God like you never experienced before when you include God in everything you do. Okay, there are Christians who spend their whole life trying to achieve this close fellowship with God through the religious traditions of ritualistic prayer, reading their Bible, going to church, those kinds of things. God's people, a lot of times, they try to force themselves to do these things. And when you got to force yourself to do them because you know that's what you should do, or you think that can achieve your goal of getting close to God, you find out it doesn't work. You're gonna get little joy or little fulfillment from doing those things, and you'll be scratching your head trying to figure out why. Why isn't this working? I mean, really, think about it. Haven't there been times when you realized you were just going through the motions and that your heart really wasn't into praying, really wasn't into going to church, and you were really just doing it out of a feeling of obligation? That's why you went, that's why you did those things, and you knew it, but you kept doing it, because, I mean, the only other thing you could do is to stop doing it, and that wouldn't be right, that wouldn't help, but, you know, many have been there and felt that. So what's wrong in these cases? How does that happen? Well, assuming it's not your church, and maybe it is, it's probably caused by no personal relationship with the Savior. You've got to have a personal relationship with your Savior. Do you know Him? How well do you know Him? All right. So what's the answer? The key is to establish that personal relationship. An ongoing fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. Okay? Then prayer becomes a meaningful part of that union. The Spirit hungers for God's Word. And fellowship with the saints at church, it's something you look forward to and not just an obligation. Because now, God is in it. Got it. Once you have that personal relationship. In order to walk daily in the Spirit of God and in fellowship with Him, you must saturate yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is necessary to push the world out. He simply wants to be an active part of your daily life. So include Him, include the Lord in everything. Seek His advice. Seek His companionship. Look forward to spending time with Him. And seek His presence in your daily routine. Okay, and that takes practice, but you can do it. Practice the presence. I guess you say you practice the presence of God. And just understand that He wants all of you, and that you can't live with your heart and affections set on the things of this world and still please God. He wants to be your first love. He wants to be number one in your heart. And you should want that same relationship. You should want it. And when it happens, the Lord will really begin to reveal Himself to you like never before. And then, and only then, will the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, peace, happiness, and all the other blessings manifest themselves in the believer's life. And so there's some keys that will help make that happen. Number one, communicate with God. God's greatest desire concerning mankind is to communicate with His people. That's why the reward is so great for those who do have a close relationship and close walk with Him. Your relationship with Him is the single most important thing in your life, and you should accept that as fact. You may ask, well, how do I do that? Where do I start? Well, the answer is kind of hard to put into words because it is a spiritual matter. But the Holy Spirit's going to have to do the work here in your heart. So you need to ask Him before you start. Ask Him. Then you can try this for a beginning. Bring Him to the forefront of your daily life by beginning and continuing each day in His presence. And I say beginning and continuing. Don't just discard the Lord with your customary amen in the morning and after your morning prayer, and then you don't talk to Him again until bedtime. Okay? Rather, take Him with you all day, knowing that He's right there, envisioning Him right there with you, by your side all day long, at your job, wherever you go, in your car, He's there. Picture Him right there at your side at all times. Talk to Him about the little things in your daily life. Praise Him as you go. Praise Him for His goodness. Tell Him you're His, and tell Him you're totally surrendered to Him and you're surrendered to His will in your life. Seek guidance. And don't you want to go down the right paths? Don't you want to make sure you don't make a wrong decision? Seek guidance from God. Ask Him, what's the right way? What do I do next? Okay, listen closely as He speaks to your heart. Most Christians are better at asking than they are at listening. Don't be one of those. You can quote your favorite scriptures to Him and use them as a basis for conversation. Fellowship with the one who lives inside you. Make this a daily routine, and pretty soon you're going to hunger for His presence every day, every hour, every minute. Without this relationship, it's easy to drift away and let the Lord just become like a spare tire God. What do I mean? I mean one that you only pull out when you need Him, and then you return Him to some faraway place called heaven until you need Him again. Just like you do your spare tire. When's the last time you saw your spare tire? When you needed it. Right? God, don't treat God like that. All God hears from this crowd are their desires of the flesh. Okay? The traditional backslidden Christian has his rituals designed to help him live the Christian life. Remember, you cannot live the Christian life. You can't do it. He has to live it through you. Pray when you need something. Go to church every time the doors are open. Try to do something for the Lord, even when you don't want to. This is not the love relationship God had in mind when he created man. There's another type. Type who's so busy doing things for God, but doesn't take time to fellowship and get to know him. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Okay. So busy doing things for God, not taking time to fellowship, not taking time to get to know him. And sometimes it's necessary to stop the physical works that we're doing for him and have a heart meeting in the spirit. A good example of this is the two sisters here in Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. That's what's lacking right there. That's what we need. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And that's what's lacking in most Christians' life. Taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus, fellowshipping with him, listening to him, having a good time with him, taking him with you. Okay? So here, you know, you can see which one of these ladies the Lord counted as which one of these activities was more important, doing good works or spending time with the Lord. Okay? It's hard for some Christians to realize that the Lord is actually here, inside the believer, waiting patiently to communicate on the spiritual level. A constant communion and fellowship in the Spirit is more what our Lord had in mind, and that's what he wants, and in that setting the traditional things take on new meaning and they're done from a love desire of the Spirit rather than from the traditional religious obligation kind of thing. Okay? Now prayer is the primary medium through which we express our feelings, our needs, our desires, our thanks to God, okay, and praise. And it's one of the two most powerful things in the universe. James 5, verse 16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's power in that kind of a prayer. God loves to hear from you, but make it part of your ongoing daily conversation rather than just some kind of a stiff ritualistic three times a day, get on your knees, be formal, be reverent, you know, et cetera, kind of thing. You know, that kind of prayer puts both you and God to sleep, I believe. He's looking for the fervent heart to, like a heart-to-heart communication, you know, real fellowship, real companionship kind of thing. All right, so prayer is the primary medium. We express ourselves to God. Then the Bible, okay, Bible reading, Bible study places the Scripture in our hearts, in our minds, for use by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you might not, I mean, you might think you forgot most of the Bible reading and Bible studies you've already done, but it's still in there, and the Holy Ghost can draw it out anytime He needs it. So Bible study, Bible reading is very important. It's the living Word of the living God, the source of our faith. The Word of God is a mirror to our soul. It shows us what's wrong with us and helps us to fix it. God speaks to us. He speaks through the Scripture and instructs us of all matters of faith and practice. Now you can read it in the flesh, and it'll do little but put you to sleep if you read the Bible in the flesh. A lot of unsaved people have read the Bible. They say, I've had them tell me I read the Bible cover to cover, but they don't believe it. Didn't do them a bit of good. Okay. On the other hand, if you're in that sweet fellowship with your Lord and you're abiding there, you are going to consume His words as you're going to consume it as living water, as God feeds you with the untold riches that are in there. Christians need to realize that God's Word can have great power in their lives if they will receive it in the Spirit. Someone said, the Bible is God's love letter to us. God's love letter to us. You ever receive a love letter? Didn't you love to read it again and again and again? Okay. Therefore, that's God's love letter to us. All right. Then we should love it. We should receive God's instructions from it, and we should teach it to others as God provides us that opportunity. It's the other most powerful thing that exists along with prayer. God's living Word and our prayers to Him, that's an awesome combination right there. Remember this, the power of prayer and Bible study in your life is directly related to your relationship and nearness to Jesus Christ. You wonder why you don't have any power in your prayer and your Bible study? Check your relationship to Jesus Christ. Because everything else will fall in place naturally if you will just nourish that relationship. You got to make it real. It is real. You just, sometimes you, it's more like you're dragging the Lord along with you like a anchor or something, and you forget he wants fellowship. So it all begins with a mutual love between the Lord and you, your flesh yielding to the Spirit. And that's the next thing. You must yield to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members, that's your flesh, your body, your parts of your body, it's your members, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your whole body, mind, and soul, along with your will, should be yielded to God. To yield, what does that mean? To yield is to recognize that God has the right of way in your life, and to let Him lead the way. Let Him lead the way. Okay? Simply put, you've got to be willing to follow Him in the Spirit rather than to follow your flesh down the road that it desires. Because the Spirit and the flesh have two different desires. They want to go different ways. Which way are you going to follow? Okay? Believe it or not, you're going to find out if you'll do this, if you will yield to God, you'll find out you're going to be happier following Him. God will never let His child find happiness in a life of sin. And that's the truth. You can count on that. Romans 8:13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So, in other words, that's living if you do it right, if you do it God's way. Then you can say, man, this is living. All right. Romans 6:12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." Okay? Don't let your body, your flesh, tell you what to do, where to go. Okay? Yes, you will sin after you're saved, but the verse says not to let it reign. R-E-I-G-N. Rule. Okay? That is to have supreme authority or power over you. Okay? If you slip up, if you sin, or I should say when you sin, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Okay? He'll stand up for you, be on your side, but you got to do what? Confess your sins, right? 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Okay? That's how you get rid of the sin that separates you from the Father. You've got to repent of your sins, confess them, and then you can restore that sweet fellowship. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that it frees you from the punishment or it frees you from the consequences of what you've done. God doesn't promise to do away with those things. The Bible teaches actually you're going to reap what you sow. But at least you know you're forgiven and you have restored your fellowship with God through that confession. Okay? Now the Bible talks about another yield. Okay? There's another use of the word yield in the Bible. Okay? And that means to produce. To produce. The fruit tree, for example, yields much fruit. Okay? It produces much fruit. And likewise, a Christian who is walking in the Spirit is naturally going to bear fruit for the Savior. Also in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, Romans 6:22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Okay? And Paul said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So if you're walking in the Spirit daily, lost people will see Christ in you and your life, and they'll be drawn to the Savior because they desire the same love, joy, peace, confidence, and happiness that they should be seeing in you. Okay? They see it in you, you're living it right, they're going to want what you have. But that doesn't give you an excuse not to go out there and actively try to win souls by bringing the gospel to them. Okay? You should still be busy spreading the gospel to win souls. But my point is that that many will still also be won or lost, stay lost, simply by your testimony and the life that you live for all to see. So be aware that the lost are watching you. And remember, your life can produce a great yield of souls for the Lord Jesus, but only if you walk the walk. Okay? Walking in the Spirit. Jesus told us to lay up, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. Those things that we do for Jesus Christ, those are the things that last forever. Those are things are eternal. Okay? But the things of the earth, they're all going to burn up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. I think we looked at that recently. Everything you see and everything that most people are wasting their time on, they're all things that are going to burn up one day. So look at it this way. Your life will soon be past, but only what's done for Christ will last. Okay? Your life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. So serve him well. And because you love, serve him because you love him, not because you think you have to. So let me just give you a summary of the things that we've talked about tonight. First of all, God created us to love and to fellowship with him. So we ought to do it. We ought to desire that. Secondly, know that you're saved. Be confident in your salvation. Thirdly, reckon or count on Jesus Christ to keep you alive to God. Okay? And next, yield to God and his will. Follow him. And then labor, and he'll produce fruit that your yield for Christ, so that your yield for Christ will be great. And then finally, communicate with God. Walk in his presence. He's there. He's with you all the time. Do you ignore him most of the time? Most Christians do. And if life still sometimes seems hard, remember what Paul said, Romans 8:18. For I reckon, remember that word reckon? I count it as so. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Every day might not be a great day. You might go through some problems, troubles, trials. But Paul said it doesn't compare to the wonderful things that God has for us. That's Romans 8:18. This is important stuff. It's kind of hard to teach it because it's a spiritual lesson. But the basics are here in this lesson, and I hope it got through to you. If not, just keep reading your Bible, keep fellowshipping with God, and hopefully you'll start noticing a difference in your spiritual walk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have given us an opportunity to fellowship with you, to walk with you on a daily basis, minute by minute even. Thank you, Lord, that because you love us, you desire to hear from us and spend time with us, real time, not just obligations and stuff like that. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are there beside us to guide us all the way. Help us, Lord, to desire to go the right way as you direct. Help us to continue to look to you to direct our paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.